What a masterpiece from Dylan DeLucia. Fires his glove in the air, a complete game shutout to get Ole Miss into the World Series finals.
Ole Miss, one of the final four teams into the College World Series, punched their ticket to the National Championship Series against the Oklahoma Sooners. Yesterday afternoon, Ole Miss winning 2-0 over Arkansas. Dylan DeLucia, a complete game shutout for Ole Miss, struck out 7, allowed just 4 hits. So the National Championship Series is between the Big 12 Oklahoma Sooners, who will be in the SEC against the current member of the SEC, the Ole Miss Rebels. And the series starts tomorrow night, game one at 6 o'clock there in Omaha. Also, tonight, the Avs try to close out the Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Avs have a chance to wrap up their third title in franchise history, their first since 2001. And they have home ice tonight, last game between these two teams in the series at home. The Avs won 7-0. Avs took a 3-1 series lead with a 3-2 overtime win on Wednesday in Tampa. Game 5, 7 o'clock tonight in Denver on ABC. K-State football with another State of Kansas recruit. Interesting. Bill Connolly has done a story on ESPN Plus. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but talks about, can Lance Leipold resurrect Kansas football, much like Bill Snyder did at Kansas State? Now, they're both different situations, and before K-State fans get all huffy and puffy about, oh, how do you compare Lance Leipold to Bill Snyder? What they're saying is that KU football, we've actually documented this, in regards to how bad KU football's been record-wise and the landscape that is college football today, being a part of the Big 12 all this time, whereas K-State, back in the day of Bill Snyder came in, was Big 8, is that they're both monumental tasks. Bill Snyder accomplished it. Can Lance Leipold do the same? Now, to me, in order for Lance Leipold to do the same, that would mean winning a few Big 12 championships and being in the top five of the country. And Kansas football actually was not as high as number two in the country back in 2007/8 when they won the Orange Bowl under Mark Mangino. And they were part of, at that time, the Big 12. But the Big 12 was different because Missouri was part of it, Nebraska was part of it, and so forth and so on. So it is interesting, and I'll have to look at that article Bill Collins was mentioning. But if you're going to change around the Kansas football program, the question I have is, do you need to get the Kansas kids or do you not? Because K-State right now is winning that battle. They have 5 of the top 7 ranked kids in the state of Kansas, including the recent one yesterday with 4-star Derby running back Dylan Edwards. He's a number 2 ranked recruit in Kansas for the class of 2023. He's a 12th ranked running back in the country, according to some. And 5 of the top 7 Kansas ranked kids have committed in one way or another to K-State football and Coach Kleiman's program. Now, the first reaction will be, well, there you go. K-State's winning the battle of the Kansas kids, and so that helps them. And kids in Kansas are still choosing K-State over Kansas, which makes sense. I think if you're an impressionable kid, you think I got a better chance of winning going to Kansas State than Kansas. Although Lance Leipold turned some things around, then suddenly that will even out a little bit. But that question I have is, do you really need a whole bunch of Kansas kids to get to the level that Bill Snyder was, that they talk about in this article Lance Leipold would like to get to basically be able to resurrect a program like Bill Snyder did and get it back to not only respectability, but top of mind? Because if you're winning a Big 12 title, that means that you're in the mix possibly for a national championship, which K-State was a few times. Because I go back and forth. I'm like, yeah, Kansas kids, I love Kansas kids. Don't get me wrong. But you know, it's not like there's a whole bunch of big-time programs that are looking at all of these kids that we're talking about. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other programs that are looking at Dylan Edwards, okay? He was highly touted, no doubt. But my question is, should we all get riled up and should we beat our chest as a K-State fan because, well, we got 5 of the top 7 Kansas kids and KU doesn't have those? Or does Kansas fans there go, well, that's great and all, but we'll take the big stud from Texas that's a 4-star that we think is good or better than your 4-star running back from Derby? And I honestly don't know the full answer to that because every kid is different. But is there too much put on it by people in the state of Kansas? Because I don't hear people outside of the state of Kansas going, wow, KU's in trouble. They don't have any Kansas kids, but K-State's got 5. I don't hear that.
I think it's more of a source of pride for K-State fans, mm-hmm. and it means a whole lot from the 5 of 7 that you're talking about, right? From the Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson, mm-hmm. Kansas definitely wants those kids.
Right.
If you got a 4-star running back that's getting recruited by Oklahoma as well, you got Avery Johnson, who's next week or beginning of July, whatever, going to decide between K-State, Washington, and Oregon. Obviously, those are high-ranked recruits, and those are the guys, if you're at KU, that you want from Kansas. You don't worry so much about, you know, the 5th or 6th or 7th ranked guy in the state. I don't think you put a whole lot of stock into that if that's not the way you recruit, right?
Right.
If it's not important to you to have Kansas guys and those aren't the guys you need.
But what if there's a guy that is, KU considers, just as good, and he's in Missouri?
Sure.
Doesn't it cancel itself out?
Yeah, right. You go get him. And especially the Kansas City area. They got Devin Neal who's right in their backyard, right?
Exactly.
In Lawrence. So, you know, you're getting guys like that, and I think that's important. But I think most coaches focus on in-state recruiting if they're 4-star guys that are real, real high ranked in the entire country. You don't as much focus on it probably just because they're in-state kids, if they're just in-state kids, right? If they're not like highly ranked, if they're not highly touted, if they're not getting offers from other highly touted Power 5 schools.
So would you agree that some people in the K-State media that are purple-colored glasses, would you agree that there are a few that are making this a bigger deal than it is in regards to, not the Dylan Edwards thing, that is a big deal. Avery Johnson's a big deal. But when you start going like, hey, we got this checklist and we got 5 of 7, isn't that kind of overrated?
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to compare it to Kansas, I agree that it's a little bit overkill.
Yeah.
If you're trying to compare it to what Kansas State has done as a program in the past, I don't think it's overkill. Now, if you're, again, KU's maybe not trying to put the same program together as K-State is, right?
Right.
K-State's had a lot of success with guys from Kansas on their roster, mm-hmm. and guys that were not getting offers from other school from Kansas on their roster. Namely, a guy that made the Pro Bowl for the Packers named Jordy Nelson, right?
Sure.
Like, so you go get those guys if you can.
Which was in their backyard in Riley County.
And it was. And Terrence Newman was in Solana, too.
Sure.
He didn't get many offers. But they still, in their history, have put more of a premium on that, I think, than Kansas football ever has, right?
Sure, right.
You know, they got guys like Jake Sharp and Kerry Meyer and some
Nick
of those
Reed
guys.
Nick Reed was a big part of their Orange Bowl team.
And again, KU, when they've had success, has had some pretty good Kansas players on their team that have definitely contributed to what they're doing. So I think once you hit that level, you do want to start getting the best Kansas players, but it's not a point of I need to go get all of them, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit overrated, personally. What about you, Jason? You're a Nebraska fan, and granted, there is no Nebraska State, so you don't have to compete against that. But what would be an equivalent? Like if Iowa or some kid from Nebraska that's highly touted, if he gets out of the state, that seems to be a bigger story. But what if Nebraska's got a kid from Michigan or Colorado coming in that's just as good? Doesn't that cancel it out? I mean, what do you think from that perspective?
Well, I think to answer your first question, do you have to win the state? Kansas just doesn't have the population that, say, a Texas, a California, that Florida has. So to say you have to win Kansas to be a top 10 team in the country, probably not. You probably have to still, start elsewhere and then work your way in.
Sure.
So that's my answer to that question. Now, coming from Nebraska, I know that, when they were winning Big 8 titles and Big 12 titles and competing for national championships and winning those, the quarterback came from Florida, the quarterback came from here, the quarterback came from there. We didn't have the top recruits came from all over. And then also because we also had the kind of the unique style of play, so you mm-hmm. can that helped too.
Sure.
But so we had the unique style play. We get kids from all over, and then we had a lot of Nebraska kids that supplemented the team. Sure, Amon Green was considered a star from Omaha, but a lot of the kids that the fullback position was historically Nebraskan. You got a couple linemen from Nebraska, so you supplemented some of the stars with solid, really good Nebraska players, and you're going to win that anyway, being the only game in town. So that's not the, you know, that wasn't a big problem for Nebraska. Now they're starting to lose, or have been in the last few years, starting to lose some of those Omaha kids to other places, to Iowa, to Missouri, all that kind of stuff. So now there's a little bit of pushback that, hey, we got to win Omaha again. And yes and no. You know, it's nice to have them. Like Dusty says, it's a nice sense of pride when you can say, hey, that kid that scored two touchdowns in the Big 12 title game or Big 10 title game now, right, was from Nebraska. Sure. Great. Yeah. But
the cherry on top.
Right. To get your program, however, to a top 10 position, winning Nebraska, winning Kansas, winning Missouri just aren't going to be your number one priority. You have to go into Texas, Florida, the South to get the kids, Arizona, California. You got to get stars. You got to get the 4- and 5-star recruits. I know individually you can point out, well, this guy was a walk-on and he did this, that, and the other, and this guy was a 4-star and he didn't do anything. Individually, you can do that.
Right.
But as a group, as a whole, you need those 4-5-star recruits to come to your place eventually. You know, it usually starts with 3 and 4, and then you get a 5-star when things are going well. So then, you know, that's how programs get built.
You know, Scott Frost is a Nebraska guy, so that makes it sweeter, okay? But, you know, you look at Eric Crouch. Wasn't he a Nebraska guy, too, or not? Where was Eric Crouch from?
Eric Crouch was...
Was he originally from Nebraska?
Can't remember.
I seem to be a backyard kid, but
yeah.
But the point I bring up here is, you know, KU's best team in a long time, that won the Orange Bowl, the quarterback was undersized from Texas.
Yeah.
You know, K-State's quarterbacks, let's look at their quarterbacks. I'm just using quarterbacks. You know, Darren Sproles would be a great example of a guy that, hello, I mean, KU obviously would have been nice if they had him and K-State guy, Darren Sproles. You know, Skylar Thompson, but he's not a Kansas kid, okay? He's from Missouri. But, you know, L. Roberson, Michael Bishop, Colin Klein. These are not from Kansas kids, you know, and those are outstanding quarterbacks that played at K-State. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a kid from Kansas that has to be your quarterback, okay? That is rare that you've got any unbelievable quarterback that's from Kansas. I'm trying to think of the last great quarterback from the state of Kansas. I can't even think of it. Can you think of one? Great quarterback that's made it to the NFL from the state of Kansas or at a big-time program?
Nebraska had Brooke Behringer, who played a part in the...
He was from, Goodland? Yeah. Right. But he wasn't a superstar or anything like that. But he did compete for the starting job.
Right.
Because now you got Mays quarterback Avery Johnson, who's going to choose, as Dusty said earlier, between K-State, Oregon, and Washington. And according to this story from the Wichita Eagle, he'll just kind of decide in early July. So it'll be here in the next week or two. And that would be big if K-State got him. Of course, another big story yesterday is the University of Texas received a commitment from the top-ranked recruit in the country in 2023. That's a guy you might be familiar with. The last name Manning, first name is Arch. He is the grandson of Archie Manning, nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning, son of Cooper Manning. He made his choice yesterday, and he spurned Alabama and Georgia to go to Texas. And I saw the tweets. Quinn Ewers is now transferring from Texas. And at first, I thought it was true. I'm like, well, that would make sense, but that's a pretty quick reaction. But it was people that were just mocking it. But that might eventually happen. So some big news when it comes to recruiting, and K-State's obviously doing very well in-state. So I think the bottom line, what we're trying to ask is it important? I think it is important. You know, Charlie Weiss didn't understand it. David Beatty tried somewhat. Turner Gill tried somewhat. Terry Allen wasn't great at it. Glenn Mason, I think, had some success, obviously, when he was there. But Lance Leipold, I think... I mean, you got Jared Casey's a Kansas kid. Now, granted, you know, walk-on situation, whatever. But they've got some Kansas kids. They got the kid from Andale, Fairchild. That's, and his sister is an unbelievable athlete, and he's pretty good, too. You mentioned Devin Neal. I mean, KU's getting some kids that are from Kansas, probably more so than they were. But I think there's a balance. I think it's like, you know, if I get a few Kansas kids, that's great. I need some representation. But I'm not going to freak out because K-State's got 6 and I got 3, you know?
Right.
You know, but if year in and year out, you keep losing the top recruits, the top 1 or 2 guys, that are highly touted in your state, and every year you don't get any of them, and K-State does, and I totally get it.
Yeah, that's the key. I got a text that said Lynn Dickey and Steve Grogan. And
those we're going way back.
We're going way back.
We're going way
guys
back.
That
we're going to the 80s for Steve Grogan.
Actually
early
from 80s. Kansas in the right. 70s for Lynn Dickey.
Right? Yeah, like, right. Oh, yeah.
Well, 80s, too. He played in the 80s, too. But
we're going back 40 years, basically.
Yeah, and so it is hard to find those guys that are from Kansas, even no matter where they went to college at,
right?
That have gone and had big careers in the NFL, even, let alone – you know, just trying to find a guy that's been big in college football.
Right.
Those are the guys that obviously excelled in a big way. And, you know, you're always going to want, like I said earlier, you're going to want those top guys from your state if they're 4- and 5-star guys. Kansas is not turning any of those guys away if they have a chance to get them right.
Well, neither are going to fight. Neither. KU or K-State.
Yeah. What I'm saying is KU's trying to get on the rise, and K-State's beating them with in-state recruits right now.
Yeah, but so neither one's going to turn them down.
K-State's not going to turn them down because they typically aren't turning hardly any good Kansas kids down.
Well, first of all, KU and K-State don't get a lot of 4-stars in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. And so you will focus on that. And yeah, obviously Darren Sproles is a perfect example of that as well, right? Like a guy that you know, I know KU was recruiting and wanted, but K-State was where he went because K-State was the team that was winning at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that was probably a huge factor in his decision of where he wanted to go. So, but I do agree with you that, you know, down the line, when you're talking about this 2-star offensive lineman, well, maybe you can find a 3- or 4-star from somewhere out of state that's better, right?
Yeah.
And I know where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. And I think some people that are listening right now are understanding what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
That yes, I would love to have Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards on my team.
Sure. Right.
I'm talking about the ranks of having all of these guys because once you get so far down the list in Kansas, it's not the same as you get that far down the list in
the list
Texas,
of Kansas kids
Florida,
is as deep.
Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio.
Right.
You know, the list at 5 in Ohio is still maybe 5-star.
And Kansas might be 3-star.
Kansas might be down to 2, to be completely honest with you, by that point, because there's been years that they have.
Correct.
And so, yeah, I mean, you want the dudes. You want Xavier Kelly and Isaiah Simmons. I mean, you want the dudes, Bryce Brown. That's why K-State wanted Arthur Brown and Chris Harper and all Broderick Smith and all those guys that went somewhere else when Ron Prince was here.
Okay.
And we made a big deal about it when they came back home when Bill Snyder was here. And they produced everybody except Broderick Smith. Well, Bryce Brown never really got the chance because he messed up and got in Bill Snyder's doghouse. But, you know, you focus on those big-time guys. Jaron Kanick, right, who's now at Oklahoma. You want that dude.
Yeah, KU and K-State both missed
him. But you were not even close to being in on
that
guy.
You were going
to
get him,
like,
right.
He was Brent Venables' guy no matter where Brent Venables was, right? And so, yeah, you want those dudes. But do we need all, like, 7 of the top 9, 5 of the top 7? No, it's not. That's not your focus when you go into in-state recruiting. It shouldn't be. But, well, I mean, again, K-State does kind of focus a little bit on that, just the way they've done things in the past.
I think it's a little bit of a bigger priority for K-State. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong either way.
Exactly.
Because I don't know. I will say this. For all the people that brag right now about, oh, we got 5 of the top 7 Kansas kids committed to K-State, which I do think it's overblown. I totally agree with Dusty. You should be bragging about the top. Any of the 4 or 5 stars you're getting from Kansas, you got it over Kansas, that you should be bragging about. But you got 5 out of 7, and let's say 2 of them are 2 or 3 stars, big whoop. I mean, Kansas ain't going to be crying about not getting those guys. And so, but here's the thing. For all those people that are throwing all down social media now, bragging about it, which, by the way, doesn't mean you're going to win more games, because we don't know how these kids are going to turn out, whether they're from Kansas or, you know, from Florida or Texas or California. We have no idea. But are those same people going to come out at the end of next year if K-State goes 4-8 for some reason and KU goes 5-7? Do you think they're still going to be beating their chest on Twitter? Well, we still got 5 of the top 7 Kansas kids, and we got 5 of the top 7 kids coming up in 2024 and 2023. And you know what? You'll be like, who cares? I mean, we had a better record than you. And if KU starts to win more games, all right, and start to be, hey, we're not the laughing stock that K-State was back before Bill Snyder, and what KU is for the most part now, suddenly that levels the playing field a little bit. Now, you don't have this big advantage where K-State can go in everybody's room in Kansas kids and say, listen, do you want to win now? Because if you go to Kansas, you're going to take your lumps, and it's going to take a while, and you're probably not going to be a part of Kansas really, truly turning it around. You can come to K-State right now. Have you heard? We've beaten Oklahoma a few times. You know, and Kansas capable. We beat Texas. Well, yeah, Texas is overrated, too. But you have some selling points. Say we won Big 12 championships here at Kansas State. You know, we've got a great stadium full of people that are going to cheer you on. In Kansas, their stadium's half empty. Those are selling points, right? That helps. If you're talking to an 18-year-old kid from Kansas, you know, I'm sitting here going, I want to go to K-State too. However, what happens when or if KU gets to, say, respectability? They're starting to build something. They're 5-7, 6-6, and K-State's not setting the world on fire. Maybe K-State's 7-5 and going to a bowl game, and KU's 5-7. All of a sudden, Kansas, Lance Leipold and his staff goes into a Kansas kid, and this Kansas kid says, K-State's kind of staying right there, 6-7 wins. KU's kind of ascending. And, of course, part of it's a campus visit, if you like the campus, so forth and so on. But usually it's the coach and the fit and the staff and the team and whatever. And you start to see the environment building and the stadium start to get more and more fans. You might, as a younger person, say, I want to be a part of something that's kind of new. And that's what the Neil kid said for that got recruited. He wanted to be a part of something new and special and build it from the ground up. So that's an interesting thing, because this is why I always say, when people tell me, well, you should cheer for KU and KU. Kansas State. No, this is why you don't. If you're a K-State fan, you go, well, I still cheer for Kansas in football. You shouldn't. Because, and just like KU basketball, well, you know, I cheer for K-State. Yeah, you say that because K-State's so much less than you in basketball. And the same thing of K-State football fans. KU's so much less than you right now. You can easily say that. But that's really not smart. Because you don't want KU football on the same level as K-State football. You don't want K-State basketball on the same level as KU basketball. Because if you do, now you come to the point of what we're discussing. Avery Johnson suddenly has a harder decision of where he's going to go, or Dylan Edwards, between KU or K-State. Whereas if KU continues to suck, they're like, oh, hey, I don't want to go 0-12. I don't want to go 1-11 and beat South Dakota State by 3 points. I'm going to go to Manhattan where they beat Oklahoma. So this is another perfect example of if you truly are all about your school, and that school happens to be K-State or KU, or if it's Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, whatever, you don't say, well, I still cheer for their, you know, well, I'm a Texas fan, but I still, yeah, you still should cheer for Texas A&M. No. And Texas is going to be in their same conference eventually, as we know. So, the other thing I was going to bring up, John Randall was a highly touted recruit. KU got him. And then there's the split family situation, all right? You've got the Deneens, all right? Joe is at KU. Jax is at K-State. Dylan and Kerry Meyer. You know, Dylan Meyer was highly touted. And Shad, too. Yep. Yeah, I forgot about Shad. You know, Dylan was highly touted and went to K-State, chose K-State. Kerry was highly touted and chose KU. And I remember that was a big story. Like, how could Kerry choose the crimson and blue? And it's like, well, each is their own. Each kid got to go where. And you know what? That worked out pretty well for Kerry Meyer. You know, he had a lot of success. And Dylan Meyer had a success at K-State. So just because even your own family, we're going to get this kid because his brother went to K-State. No, that doesn't. That's what some KU people thought with the Deneens. That didn't work out. And I think that's what people thought with Dylan Meyer when Kerry was available and he went to KU. And that's the battle as well, even within some of the families. And if they're closer to, and remember when Kerry Meyer, KU wasn't horrible, you know? Yeah. That helped. If KU was what they are now, or even a few years ago, Kerry Meyer's probably not going to KU. I'm guessing. Yeah. I'm thinking he's probably going to K-State. So it's a fascinating discussion. I totally agree with Dusty. I think the key is the top. If there's two clearly best recruits in the state of Kansas, the two best recruits in Kansas are Edwards and Johnson, let's say, and Kansas State gets both, that's a feather in their cap. There's no question about it. But let's just not go crazy about, well, we got five of the top seven. If they're all 4 or 5-star recruits and really good, solid 3 stars, okay, I'll listen to that argument. But if they're sitting here, like, there's two that are clearly better and the rest are kind of, you know, we can go get the same kid from Columbia, Missouri, or Omaha, Nebraska, which, by the way, didn't Edwards choose? Nebraska was in on Edwards, too, wasn't it?
Oklahoma, Nebraska. Were the other two.
Right. So think about this for a second. Yeah. Dylan Edwards chose K-State over Oklahoma, Nebraska, which is interesting because there is NIL. And when I told my oldest son this, he goes, well, probably NIL. I'm like, yeah, well, if it's NIL, you'd think there's no way he's going to K-State. He'd go to Nebraska, Oklahoma. Or is it that K-State offered there's more in there for Edwards if there is NIL situation. And Oklahoma Tech and Nebraska is already kind of maxed out their NIL stuff. It's complicated now as to what is what and moves around. It's still an ever-changing process every single day with NIL. But maybe it's like, well, yeah, we already got a guy. We want Edwards. We'd love to have him. We went after him if we're Oklahoma. But, you know, we got other guys on the radar, you know. Because that's something else you brag about. Well, we got this kid. Oh, my God. K-State got this kid, and Nebraska didn't, and Oklahoma didn't. Well, that didn't happen back in the day, and that's true. It didn't happen back in the day. But the landscape has changed. And do you think Oklahoma and Nebraska are crying because they lost Dylan Edwards? No, they're moving on to the next guy.
Right. Oklahoma's definitely not.
Definitely not. Definitely.
You mentioned NIL, and Nebraska, they were priding themselves on, we have a whole staff that's going to set up, that's going to help you. We're going to have classes on this stuff. We're going to do this, that, and the other. We're going to be ahead of this game. We have companies that are going to work with you. And you know, look, we have this already set up for you if you come today. And they had little, you know, if you were a football player and you never had it, it'd be great to have. But it was little stuff when compared to the minuscule stuff when you compare it to the Nigel Pack and the Quinn Ewers and all this stuff that are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even seven figures. And so Nebraska's not winning that battle at all, which they thought at the beginning they were going to accept it, they were going to champion it, they were going to run with it, and that it has not worked out. Just because, you know, the reason why things don't work out at this, in every walk of life, money talks, and whoever has the money,
yeah,
you know, is going to win.
You know, and John sends me this, and I think it's interesting too. You know, what this speaks to is K-State's ability to lock down the borders to top recruits. We've seen a number of great local players go to Nebraska, Oklahoma, Iowa. It's creating a unique kind of excitement around the program. Development is key. Recruiting is step one, which that's obvious. I mean, recruiting is step one. You got to get the kid before you can develop him, obviously. But that is important, and it is step one. The question is, does it have to be Kansas kids? No, it doesn't. There's no rule that says, well, I got to build in within the state of Kansas. But at the same time, like we said, the top kids, you want to be able to go next year and say, well, listen, look, all the top guys are choosing us. There's a reason that they're choosing K-State over KU. That's another selling point. The other thing, too, is we get caught up in the high school kids that are going to go to Kansas or Kansas State.
Transfers.
Thank you. You know, this is something that I don't see K-State fans bragging about. Of course they don't, because they lost. Just like KU won't brag about Dylan Edwards going to K-State. It works both ways. But what's left off the equation, because this is how you can skew information, it's very easy to do, anybody can do it, is that KU got a pretty big guy that came in, Kai Thomas, who's a Kansas kid who was pretty doggone successful at Minnesota, and now they've got a pretty doggone good backfield with Devin Neal and Kai Thomas, and that's a Kansas kid. That backfield is Kansas. So that's something that Kansas can beat their chest about, say, okay, you got a kid that we don't know is what he's going to do in college. We got a kid that's a Kansas kid that kicked ass in the Big Ten. I mean, that's to me, that's obviously as big as a four-star recruit, to be quite honest with you. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Established kid like that. And I think, and if K-State got the same thing, they would be pumping their chest as they rightfully should do. So it is interesting, and it's great to see kids that, you know, maybe come back to Kansas or Kansas State because they were Kansas kids, they went somewhere, and they came back. But the NIL part, I think, is a whole different topic for another day. But what about Kansas kids? You know, we saw what Jared Casey benefited from by making that catch against Texas, which was part of the fun part of the NIL stuff. But how is that going to impact things? Like, Kansas versus K-State, who has the advantage if it comes down to NIL? Basketball, I think it's clearly Kansas.
Well, yeah.
But what about football? If K-State, you know, ends up being a 7-5 team in and out, okay, 6, 7, 8 wins a year. That's very respectable, solid. K-State fans get sick of it because they want more.
Right.
Just like KU fans got spoiled for a few years when they were winning, and next thing you know, they're horrible, and they'd love to be. Nebraska fans were firing the coaches when they won 9 games, for crying out loud, and now they'd love to win 9 games, wouldn't they? In 2 years. Combined. As we know, Nebraska's the 6th best sport on campus now. So they've fallen on hard times. But you know, that's an interesting part of the equation too. What about Avery Johnson? You know, what is he considering right now? Because what was Washington and Oregon and K-State? Yeah. If I'm Avery Johnson, you know, I know of a guy named Phil Knight that's highly involved with the University of Oregon. There's a lot of money. Perhaps Avery Johnson right now is going, you know what? It's a three-way race. I could stay in state. I got K-State. I like them, obviously, clearly over KU because K-State's one of my finalists. Washington, that's a ways from family, but that seems to be one I liked. And then there's Oregon. And if it's all even and you really are cool with going wherever, unless you want to stay close to home, NIL could very well be the deciding factor. The question then is Oregon, is Kansas State going to put more into pushing to get Johnson to K-State more than Oregon because he's a Kansas kid and maybe step a little further than maybe they need to? Kind of like the Royals drafting Bubba Starling. Because he was in their backyard, I think they felt pressure that we can't let this kid go. We better draft him. And I thought all along, that's what you shouldn't do. You should go with whoever you think's the best guy at that. And I thought the Royals cave to some of that pressure. We can't let the back door back, you know, the kid in the backyard go. Well, that didn't work out well for the Royals. So there's another equation to it. Does K-State value Avery Johnson more than Oregon and Washington to where somehow you go through the NIL, what was that? I forgot the name of the thing. Not collection agency, but a collective, I think is what Nick Saban called it. You know, does K-State have a collective set up? And how much money
they
is
do.
In there?
They don't have the money that...
No, that Oregon does. Oregon may be going, listen, we got lots of other quarterback candidates here. We don't have to give Avery Johnson this. And Avery might be sitting there going, I like all three.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it come down to who can give me the best NIL opportunity.
You just said it. Yeah.
The Phil equation
Knight,
is different.
Phil Knight could be choosy. And if he doesn't... If he doesn't believe in Avery Johnson as much as other people, he might not make that offer that we think is out there.
Right.
So, yeah.
And K-State may give more than maybe other people view Avery Johnson because he's a Kansas kid.
Yep. And, yeah, that's another thing with this NIL. We think everybody's getting this money. No. Nigel Pack is the exception. Now, a lot of people are getting something, and there are more and more that are getting big amounts, but to think that everybody's getting these huge amounts of money, just not how it's working right now. So Phil Knight is probably he's a smart guy with money. He's not just gonna give out, he's not gonna live golf this situation and just throw tons of money. Now he has a cushion to have to make a mistake every now and then, and he's not gonna worry about that. But he's just not going to throw tons and tons of money on unproven players. Now, he can do this a little bit more with the transfer portal. He can do this a little bit more with this and that and the other. But he's going to wait. He's going to, pick and choose who he believes in.
We talk about Live Golf a lot yesterday, and no show's complete without a mention of Live Golf in golf because that's we've become a golf show.
Right.
But Live Golf isn't giving hundreds of million dollars to unproven players.
Right.
They're giving it to guys who already have the money.
You're getting the guys that
top dogs
are going to move the needle, right?
Right. And what are you going to do as a supporter of Oregon, all right, or K-State or KU? You're not going to same thing. You ain't going to throw money out NIL opportunities to a guy that ain't going to be a difference maker.
Even Phil Knight has a budget when it comes to this. So
I don't know. I've talked to Phil. He wipes his nose and everything else with Benjamins.
I don't know how Phil Knight feels about Avery Johnson at all, right?
Like, he thinks he's a good NBA player, and he thought he was a decent coach.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Wrong Avery Johnson.
The thing, though, is just throw out the window what you think Phil Knight feels about Avery Johnson. If you put everything down the middle straight up, and it's an arms race with dollars, K-State can't beat Oregon.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's
and even
our point.
If he doesn't like Avery Johnson as much as K-State does, but still likes him enough, K-State probably still can't beat dollar for dollar Phil Knight, Oregon, Nike are going to bring to Avery Johnson. Right. So K-State has to take a different approach than just NIL, and I think that's what they're doing right now.
Right, absolutely.
They're actually literally going out and recruiting a kid and telling him what's good about coming to K-State, and you come here and maybe establish, and then maybe NIL will come to you as well. We can't offer that right out of the gate like a lot of other colleges might be able to do. So I know that Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson are really good friends.
That was the next point I was going to say. You get one of them, you might be able to get both.
And it's the whole time it has felt like it's a package deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, Dylan said he came to K-State because he wants to play with Avery. I don't know if any of that's true. You know, we're going to find out early July whether that is the case, and that is in fact true. I know that they both had great visits at K-State and that they were both excited about what the future could hold if they would come to K-State. Now, again, Avery Johnson has an opportunity to play on the West Coast and play at different schools than Dylan Edwards did. So I don't know if he's changing his mind by himself, you know, kind of going on his own and trying to make this decision or not. But I do know that if it's straight NIL, K-State can't compete with Oregon. They can't compete with Seattle either. I'm going to tell you that right now. If somebody from Washington really, really wants Avery Johnson, dollar for dollar, you're probably not going to be able to compete with Washington either. So it's... For me, the NIL is obviously going to be a part of that, and especially sure. moving forward, and especially once they figure everything out,
yeah.
and we'll figure out what kind of restrictions some states are going to put on it, what others aren't, and
right.
and where that can go.
I'm going to shift gears here. I don't normally do this in the middle of a sports talk show, but this is a gigantic news story that has just broken. The Supreme Court has today overturned its landmark decision in Roe versus Wade that established the right to an abortion, with a ruling that marks a seismic shift in abortion law and will usher in new rules limiting or banning access to the procedure in half the states and some places immediately. The decision to undo nearly 50 years of precedent will have sweeping ramifications for tens of millions of women across the country as abortion rights are curtailed, particularly in GOP-led states in the South and Midwest, and lead to a patchwork of laws absent the constitutional protection. 13 states have so-called trigger laws on the books in which abortion will swiftly be outlawed in most cases, with Roe overturned. The ruling came in a case involving a Mississippi law that banned abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, and the court reversed the decision of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which blocked the measure. Justice Samuel Alito delivered the opinion for the court and was joined by Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Chief Justice John Roberts delivered a concurring opinion, writing that while he agrees that the viability line established under Roe should be discarded and Mississippi's law upheld, Roe and Casey should be left untouched. The court's three liberal justices dissented. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division, Alito wrote in his majority opinion. He went on to say it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. End of quote. So, huge, huge news coming down from the Supreme Court today. I don't want to get too much into this because this is a sports talk show. I'm not going to tell you my opinion on the whole situation other than to say that it's like anything else that we have in our society. I'll use Marco Rubio's words against him. Why do we need gun reform and gun laws? They're just going to go do it anyway. Well, then why do we need to worry about Roe versus Wade and abortions? If it's outlawed, well, you and I have talked about this, Dusty, women that want to have an abortion will find a way to have an abortion. It might be much harder, more difficult, maybe more costly, and certainly more unsafe. Because there, you've probably heard the stories of makeshift clinics, hotel room. I mean, we're just not good for anybody involved. And so that is the fear for people that were thinking this might be overturned is, okay, are we going to go back to that type of thing? You know, won't have that access. And those, of course, that are all about this being overturned, and I totally get, I get both sides. I truly do. Valuing the bits of the win for humanity and the unborn. No, I get it. And I don't want to get any specifics as to my beliefs or Dusty's beliefs or Jason's beliefs. But there are two ways to looking at this, and we've talked about this ourselves off the air just a little bit. And so now it just changes so much. This ruling today is a gigantic, sweeping, seismic change. And as I said there, there's already trigger laws in 13 states that immediately now, just like that, with this decision by the Supreme Court, automatically now, that abortion in those 13 states with the so-called trigger laws are immediately outlawed, in most cases with Roe overturned. So it's seismic. And the other thing about news that we'll tell you, too, is the Senate passed a bipartisan gun control legislation in a 65-33 vote. Nancy Pelosi said that they expect the House to pass it. It didn't go as far as Democrats wanted. Both parties are claiming victory. Finally, they can agree on something, that they can both claim victory. That's so sweet. But anyway, you can go read it yourself. But that's two gigantic news stories. And obviously, Roe versus Wade being overturned is absolutely monumental. And there are many people in this country that are celebrating that. And there are many women in this country, I can tell you, that aren't very happy about it. Because it's like, it's my body. Why do I have to let a whole bunch of people in Washington tell me what I got to do with my body? But yet you can't do this with guns and other things. But you can tell me how I'm supposed to handle this. I get both sides. I truly do. And I don't know if you're, as a listener, which side of the court you're on in regards to this. But please understand there are two viewpoints. And there are two different ways of looking at this. So, gigantic news today. Gigantic.
Can't wait until I read a news story where America wins instead of both parties won today.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. Wouldn't you just like to say humanity won?
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, Republicans and Democrats claim that they won because they got a gun reform bipartisan bill.
Both parties won. Well, if you passed a bipartisan bill, you should say America won.
That's exactly right.
Not me talking about
you
both won.
Thank you. That's how it is nowadays. We keep a tally board, both the left and the right, because apparently we're six. Okay, the NBA draft was last night, and there was a bit of a surprise, at least to the so-called experts.
With the first pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
Oh, I try to tell people he's the best guy in the draft. He should be the number one pick. And I'm sitting there going, hey, that'd be great if they don't take him, the Thunder. And then the guy I didn't want the Thunder to take is exactly the guy that now we find out after the fact they were all about taking all along. Yay. So it's a great day to be a Thunder fan. Hey, Chet Holmgren might turn out to be unbelievable. He might be the next Dirk Nowitzki. And if so, happy, 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 joy, joy, joy. I hope I'm wrong. There are times where I think guys are great and I would want them. And I realize 10 years later that they weren't that good. So I'm wrong. Nobody hits 100%. They're the guys that I just feel really strongly that they're a bust. And they end up being a bust. Like Jamarcus Russell. I knew he'd be a bust. Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning. I think it was pretty easy before even the draft who the safest pick and the better pick was. And we clearly found out how that all worked out. So there's some that are obvious. And then there's others where you're just like, man, this guy, how did he not make it? He was going to be a star. I don't understand. He was a can't-miss prospect. And so we all get some of these predictions right and wrong. But the Magic did a nice job. And it costs a lot of money in Vegas, a lot of money. Because there are a lot of people that were putting money on Smith to be the number one guy, Banchero 3, even 2. So what happened last night is Banchero goes to Orlando. I think he is the best ready-to-play NBA prospect right now.
Yes.
Now, Smith might have more upside. Ivy might have more upside. Holmgren certainly could have more upside. That's possible. The Thunder take Holmgren, and then the Rockets get Jabari Smith, and the Rockets might come up with a steal in this draft. My oldest says Jaden Ivey is the best player in the draft, which some people say that they agree. Some people thought for sure the Pistons would take, or not the Pistons, they thought that the Kings would take Ivey. The Kings always pick a guy that's different. They took Keegan Murray, which Jason was all about. Well, odds are they could have got Murray just a little bit later. Maybe they could have traded out of it. Maybe there wasn't anybody to really give him much. I don't know. Banchero was the fifth Duke player to be number one overall pick, with the most recent prior to him being Zion Williamson with the Pelicans in 2019. I will say, Duke players have not exactly panned out when they've been in the top five the last so many years. You know, Marvin Bagley Jr. has been somewhat of a bust. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of a can't-miss guy out of college. Zion has got all the weight and injury issues. But I think Banchero's different. I really do. But I could be wrong. So it'll be interesting to follow this. There are two Jayhawks that were drafted. The Cavaliers took Ochai Agbaji with a 14th pick. He'll be a teammate with Dean Wade, so they can share K-State and KU swag. One will have national champions on it, and one will not.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a low blow, but it was just too easy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course, you know, Dean can say Big 12 champions for football, and Ochai can say I didn't know we had a football program, and Ojai would be
Dean's
right.
He's got a Big 12 basketball champion shirt he can wear.
Yeah, Big 12 basketball versus national champions. There is a slight difference, yeah. But having said that, you know, like I said, Dean Wade could say, well, you know, our football program is better than your football program, and look at this. And then Ojai could say, I didn't realize we had a football program. And Dean could come back and say, well, that's actually kind of true. You don't. Maybe eventually you will.
Will Dean Wade wear a shirt that says 5 out of the top 7 recruits in the state?
I think the t-shirts are all being printed.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a DVD that they're making of it, too. So, anyway, Dean Wade and Ojai Agbaji will be teammates. And by the way, Dean Wade, and there's a Kansas kid that went to Kansas State. Mm-hmm. Really wasn't on the KU radar. But still, a kid that did well at K-State, was kind of maligned at times by the K-State fan base, no doubt. And this is a guy that just had his option picked up by the Cavs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great. That's great. I'm happy for Dean Wade. That's fantastic.
His NBA career has gone
better than most people
than I thought it might.
I think a lot of people thought he wouldn't even make it in NBA.
Yeah.
But he has. And so Dean Wade and Ojai Agbaji are going to be teammates unless, of course, we find out later today that Ochai's been traded for the rights to this and whatever else. I hesitate to say who they're going to play for because that happens like 2 minutes after they get drafted. Here's Ojai on going to Cleveland to play for the Cavs.
First off, I just want to thank the organization in Cleveland for, you know, drafting me, believing in me. I'm going to give you 110% every single day and a positive attitude. So that's really all. I'm just going to be a hard worker, come in, be humble, and you know, represent my city well.
I love Ojai, but come on, that KU education is not kicking in. It is impossible to give 110%. All right? Why not 120? I mean, seriously, who set the bar to 1 to 110?
Somebody,
there is no scale that goes 1 to 110.
I
hear this, and I'm like, no, it's 100. That's your max. That's the A+. You don't go to school and go, the teacher, hey, I'm going to get an A++++ today. No, A+ is the best you can get. You have 100% of your body. That's it. It ain't 110. All right? 100% of your body. It is impossible to give 101.8%. It's 100%. Can we agree on a bar here? Like, so, okay, Ojai, I get 110%. Dean Wade, Iowa K-State, I give 112%. Where does it end?
Where did
the whole moniker come up with we had to up it by 10%?
I can't believe 110 lasted so long.
Yes.
And especially in the cliche age where everybody just says cliches.
Why isn't 120 big now?
Like, once people started saying 110, why didn't somebody say 115?
Right.
And then the next person 120. And then we're up to 962,412%
I'm going to give infinity and beyond.
That's watching something the other day, and I think it was a TV show I was watching on Netflix that I'm watching right now. And they said, I'm going to give 150%. Somebody on that show said that. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
all
somebody
right.
did take it further than one.
There you go. Next up, 160%. So Ojai is going to give 110%, 10% more than he's capable of doing. And I'm making fun of it because, trust me, Ojai is a smart kid, good kid, nice kid. And it's great what he's done and improved his game over the years, just like Dean Wade did, too. And now they'll be teammates, but it is kind of funny to me because, you know, other athletes have said this too. So Ochai's not the first one. Christian Brown, I went a little higher than I thought he would go. He went to the Nuggets with the 21st pick. So there's 7 picks later. Another Jayhawk was off the board. So Christian, as of now, is a member of the Nuggets organization.
Man, looking back on it, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I won a national championship, you know, with Och and the guys. That was great. And now that I'm drafted, it's been an amazing process. Like I said, I'm grateful for the support. I'm grateful for my family. That's pretty much all I can say. I'm just grateful.
And now he's going to play with the 2-time reigning NBA MVP, Jokic, there in Denver, or so we think, unless he's traded.
Right. I like it.
Did they both go higher than you thought? Ojai went about where I thought.
Ojai, I thought, had a chance to go right, pretty much right there.
I thought Brown was 25 to 35.
Yeah, he definitely went higher than I thought he would.
But I like where he went.
I do, too. I think it's going to be a good fit.
I think that pick also kind of signifies at least the hope or the belief that Michael Porter Jr. is healthy. Because if they didn't think that, I think they would have tried with another higher upside wing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Brown, more of a, you know, player role player type guy. You know, I think they would have went a little riskier with a wing if they didn't think Michael Porter was going to be healthy. So, but yeah, I kind of like Brown. I think he fits in well there. He won't be asked to score right away.
Right.
He'll be asked to move the ball and hit shots when mm-hmm. when the other guys make plays for him.
Defend.
So, mm-hmm, and defend. So I think it's a great spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both decent situations until, like I said, one of them gets traded, which probably will happen more than likely. Nebraska guard. Nebraska had a guy good enough to be in NBA.
Yeah.
Nebraska, man.
That's kind of what makes it even sadder.
Yes, it does.
Is that they had a guy, and he, like, I actually think he's really talented and
well, he
could
must be.
Have been yeah. a first-round pick, but hey, I'm not going to argue with where he went either. That's fine. But
Bryce McGowan,
Nebraska
guard, taken by the T-Wolves in the second round with a 40th overall pick, and the T-Wolves selected Baylor Kendall Brown in the second round with 48th pick. Your Spurs picked up the kid from Baylor. You like the pick?
I don't.
I didn't think you did.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Well, first of all,
I wanted Jalen Duren from Memphis because we need this team.
He was there for you.
For 5 or 6 years, they've needed an athletic center.
Mm-hmm.
But they just keep drafting guards. And then now they draft a guy that they're telling me he plays deep. What did we just talk about yesterday? I don't want a guy in the top 10, and I'm going to say, oh, he plays defense. He's a 29% three-point
right.
shooter. He's a 47% shooter from the floor, yeah. and he's a 59% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
How did we get better
yeah.
by taking that dude at number 9? It was a reach. Jeremy Sohan, I might have taken him at 20,
yeah.
where they wouldn't have got him at 20.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody would have picked him before that. But I feel right. like where they took him was a reach, and Jalen Duren was right there, and you could have had him, and this is a guy, and they say you need a rim protector. Dude averages half a block shot a game with Baylor. He's 6'9" on his NBA draft profile, which means he's not 6'9".
No.
He's probably 6'8".
Yeah,
and so it's just, the guy is Keldon Johnson for me, and not even as talented offensively. He's a couple inches taller, but I don't like it.
Well, I saw some story saying that.
Listen, I hope he proves me wrong.
The Spurs have had really good shooting coaches. They make guys better. They use Kawhi Leonard as an example. I'm like, Kawhi Leonard still could score at San Diego State. Okay. He might wasn't a great outside shooter, but he could still score. This kid from Baylor doesn't do that.
9.5 points a game. Like, right. And he's a top 10 pick, and all these numbers that I just gave. And
I know.
And I kept looking more and more into it because yeah. I was covering severe weather, and all I could do was take about 5 minutes each time between it just to yeah. look and see if I really do. I like this more as the night's going on. And it got worse as the night went on. I'm like, nah, dude, like this guy is not like he can't shoot the three ball at the college level. How's he going to go step back and hit it further out in today's game? At 6'8", you can't be, I mean.
Well, I will say this, though, in fairness. I mean, Grant Williams couldn't shoot threes, and he made 7 in an NBA playoff game this year. And Al Horford didn't make a three yeah. his college career, and he yeah. made 6 NBA finals game. I mean, these guys do get better, and they get to work on their craft all the time once they get to the pros. And if you find a niche, and if, like, you know, in this case, he could be a defender and a good three-point shooter, if he's set, you know, and they penetrate and kick to him, he could have a long NBA career by just simply mastering that, being a really good defender and then a knockdown three-point shooter. And when I say knockdown, I don't mean Steph Curry knockdown or Klay Thompson, but a guy that, you know, can shoot 37, 38% from three. And we've seen guys that have done a lot better, compared to college.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's the hope again, that you have
again,
to have.
I always say, like, okay, I would say, like, the last 4, maybe 5 years, I've not been excited about what the Spurs have done in the draft. But I always say, after that night and, you know, the morning after when I get to kind of air my grievances over the radio or whatever.
Sure.
At that point, you move on and you support them, right?
Yeah.
Like, you go,
we can't
this
change
is who
the
we've got. This is who, and if he goes out and plays well and proves me wrong, I'm perfectly fine with that. Patrick Mahomes is the poster child for me for doing that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of saying, maybe I wasn't a huge fan of this at the time, but, man, he's proven me wrong, and I have no problem admitting that.
Right.
You know, so I'm here to say, Jeremy Sohan, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
And the other two guards that we decided to draft because we don't have enough guards, prove me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, you can't change it.
Yeah.
It is what it is now. No doubt about it. Yeah, be interesting. Sometimes the worst picks end up being really good that you think initially. That's why grading the draft after the draft happens immediately is foolish. Because I like Ben Carroll. He might be a complete... You know, a lot of people like Greg Doden. That didn't work out well.
Oh, yeah.
People like Sam Bowie back in the day.
Long list of guys
that you love.
That we really, really liked.
You fall in love with.
And, yeah.
They're not that great.
Yeah, but you don't go back and say, hey, I really liked him if he was terrible. You're just like, yeah, I never thought he was going to be good anyway. Just kind of hide it, you know?
Yes, exactly.
But if they prove you wrong, you're fine with it.
Right, no doubt. So full coverage, NBA.com. The Royals are back in action. Yay. Royals return to start a three-game series with the A's tonight. Royals took 2 out of 3 from Oakland last weekend. Royals actually have a better record than A's, believe it or not. Royals are 25-43. Zach Greinke off the injured list, set to start for the Royals tonight at 7:10. Time for a Cubs update with Jason Broadfoot.
Brought to you by Curtis Mayfield, born and raised in Chicago. I did not know that until I looked it up.
I didn't know anything about Curtis Mayfield, so thanks for sharing. It's an educational program, everyone.
8-7, Pirates beat the Cubs in 10 innings.
Pirates beat the Cubs. Did you see that 6'7 kid that got called out for the Pirates from shortstop through 97 miles an hour across the diamond? Yeah. And he had the fastest speed in the big leagues and the fastest throw, and he played 3 innings in his first Major League Baseball game. He ran all the way to third. He got thrown out, stretching a double, a triple. They said it was the highest registered speed in the big leagues this year, if I read that right. And it was the highest velocity of a throw for an infielder, and he did it in the first 3 innings in his first big league game. That's pretty doggone good.
That makes me laugh when people say, well, you know, people from the 50s could compete now. You just had a kid who we have no idea if he's even going to be a great major league player or not.
Right.
But just shatter 2 physical records. Yeah. That, you know, obviously, you know, that doesn't mean he's going to be great, but it's right. Just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not, you know. Mark Grace always used to laugh that Sean Dunstan threw it as hard as any pitcher, he thought, and could throw it at your knees, he could throw it at your head, he could throw it in the dirt, he could throw it anywhere. And I'd be nervous as a first baseman with seeing 97.
Yeah, it would hurt my hand.
Right.
I need some major padding in that glove.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was I saw that throw. You could barely see the ball. He threw it so hard.
Yeah.
I was like, dear goodness. You know, Bobby Witt can fly, by the way. Bobby Witt Jr., he can fly. He's beating out multiple hits just on ground balls to short. He beats them out, and they're infield singles. And the best players in Major League Baseball usually play typically up the middle and shortstop, and those are some of the best arms in baseball. And by which Junior beats some of these out. Well, first of all, he hustles.
You're playing shortstop or center field, right?
Yeah,
second base.
That's right.
That's where you put your speed because you want to have range. Right?
That's right. Center field, shortstop, and second, and then your pitcher usually is a great athlete. And then of course catcher is very, very important. So they always say you want your best players right up the middle, typically when it comes to baseball. So So there you go. There's your Cubs update. Brought to you by
Curtis Mayfield. Famous Chicago.
I'm running out of Chicago, folks.
I can give you a couple.
Nobody else will know it but me.
Running out of people.
Well,
there's how many people live in Chicago?
Well,
we could do this for like 80 years.
Know.
Oh, people we know. Well, I don't know Curtis Mayfield. That didn't stop you.
Well, some people would know Curtis Mayfield.
Some people may.
Yeah. I had to look him up while you were talking about
I thought I'd heard the name, but I didn't even know if he played baseball.
He's a musician.
Oh, he's a musician. I thought he was a former baseball player. I didn't even know what we're talking about here.
Well, I'm not, you know, not going to win every time, I guess.
That's true of the Royals and the Cubs. That's for sure, too. All right, once again, big news in the world today. If you didn't hear, Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade. You'll hear more about that coming up. Have a great weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.